Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of James, True Faith. In this session, we'll be looking at James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. Faith proves itself by works. Let's read that passage before we get into it here. James chapter 2, beginning with verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus, also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Before we can consider the practical teaching of this session's text, the possibility of confusion must first be resolved about James' treatments of the concept of faith. Look at several passages. Verse 26, faith without works is dead. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3, verse 28, he said, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Romans chapter 4 and verse 6, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man in whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. James and Paul seem to disagree. But look further. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Paul says, for by grace you've been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Titus chapter 2, verse 14, the apostle said, who gave himself for us that he may redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. I believe the key is in Acts 15. At Antioch, a problem arose regarding the requirement of circumcision for salvation. And in Acts 15, it says in verse 2, therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, the Jews, the Christian Jews, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. At Jerusalem, discussion of the circumcision requirement of There was discussion of the circumcision requirement of Gentile Christians. Paul and Barnabas shared the situation. Verse 4. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God had done with them. And then verses 11 and verse 19, Peter says, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. And then James, in verse 19, says, therefore I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God. Paul, Peter, and James were of one mind. In verse 25 of Acts 15, it seemed good to us, that's James, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Saul. Salvation is by faith alone. And James was the leader. The requirements, idols, fornication, blood, were an expression of new faith. They weren't the cause of it. And Paul's agreement was the proof. Paul and James are in complete agreement. Salvation is by faith in Christ alone. But faith will produce works. That was Martin Luther's view. People had trouble with him for a while. The one who taught justification by faith alone also wrote this. He said, if works and love do not blossom forth, it's not genuine faith. The gospel has not yet gained a foothold, and Christ is not yet rightly known. As confusing as his writing is in places, James' letter instructs on the growth of faith already received, not salvation by means of works. Physical life must grow, and desires to do so. Faith, spiritual life, must grow as well. It's about strong versus sick and weak, mature versus poorly grown. James says, good works will prove faith. How? Well, it'll do it in three ways. First, faith works by meeting needs. Verses 15 and 16. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? To see a need and not to act to meet it reveals sick and weak faith. Seek opportunities to meet needs of other Christians. Second, faith works by sacrificial obedience. Look at verses 21 and 22. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect? Faith is willing to obey the Lord at the price of personal sacrifice. Abraham trusted God to handle the problem of fulfilling his promise of blessing after his only son is sacrificed. God's problem. God made the promise. He's now told me to do this. It's his problem to handle, not mine. Look at Genesis, again, Genesis 22. Look at verse, beginning of verse 5. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear me, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt offering instead of his son. Sacrificial obedience. Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son Isaac in obedience to God, trusting that God, by his own power, would fulfill his promise of the blessing through Abraham's son. He didn't know completely how he was going to do it, but he just figured, well, he'll bring him back to life again. He'll resurrect him. So, faith is willing to obey the Lord at the price of personal sacrifice. And then third, faith works by serving others. Look at verse 25. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Rahab heard about the Lord's mighty power and believed and helped the Israelite spies. Joshua chapter 2. Look at it. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Achaia Grove, to spy secretly, saying, Go, view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. And then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order on the roof. And then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. As soon as those who pursued had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof, and she said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you to come out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Yet neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. And spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And so the men answered her, Our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be when the Lord has given us this land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, Get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way. Listen, a baby will seek nourishment and will grow. New faith needs to grow also. Encourage your faith to grow. Feed it and exercise it. Listen, have you exercised your faith by meeting needs? By sacrificial obedience? By serving others? Do you need to make a fresh commitment? You give that thought. And you have a great day.